feel like I've been away forever. I've been busy, been doing a lot, and one of the things I've had the privilege of doing was going with the college and career group to Atlanta, Georgia. Drove down to Atlanta, Georgia, and we had a conference there where they bring in amazingly gifted worship leaders, which our worship leaders learn a lot from, as you can see. And they also have speakers that challenge us to what God would have us do with our lives in these amazingly crazy times that we're living in. And I was there with this college and career group because I helped lead the college and career group. And we went to the conference, and my daughter was especially excited about me being there because she had discovered this conference several years ago and has been going ever since, and she wanted me to experience it. And then on Saturday night, when you were here, we finished our conference late. They go till midnight with their conference, and we were finishing around 10 o'clock, and I was walking with Katie before they went to the groups, and a woman had just spoken, Christine Kane, and when she spoke, I was blown away. I learned a lot from her, and Katie asked me on the way home as we were walking back to the hotel, what do you think? What did you think of tonight? I said, Katie, God spoke to me tonight. Without a doubt, he spoke to me. And she said, what did God say? And I said, that's just it. I don't know what he said. I just know that there's something he said in my heart that I'm going to uncover through what Christine Kane was talking about. And that's what happened over the days that followed me coming home from Atlanta. There was one line that Christine Kane spoke, and I'm sure she was rambling. As she said, she has, most of the time we have 3 points in our messages. She had 100, and she's that way when she speaks. But one sentence that she said moved on very, very quickly. She said, we don't want a Judges 2 society. We don't want a Judges 2 society. I wasn't sure exactly what she meant by that. But I moved on from it, and that's what God put into my heart, this whole idea of not having a Judges 2 society or a Judges 2 church or a Judges 2 home or a Judges 2 spiritual life in us. I came back, and I thought about those things. I started my new study. We're going to begin a new series. And I am really excited about it. I'm also scared to death of this study because we're going to be studying the book of Revelation starting next week. Because as I started to write on it this week, I couldn't get past the intro. I knew what I wanted to say. I knew what God had taught me. I knew what I wanted to say. But there was something about the intro God kept impressing upon me. You need to talk about this Judges 2. This Judges 2. This Judges 2. You need to talk about that. That's your intro. That's why we're going to take our Christian life so serious. That's why we are going to say, all for God, everything for the kingdom. And if it's not everything for the kingdom, then maybe just head on out. And that's where we're headed. So this Judges 2 thing, I put it together as I studied it, and I taught it to the men's group. And then I felt inclined to do what I've never done before. I taught it to the college and career group. A few days later, and now you are getting the third at bat with this study. Each time it has grown, each time it has become more and more enlightening, and we're going to do this a lot like we would a small group. If you've never been with us in small groups, you will experience a lot of what that is like tonight as we will go to the whiteboard and we will make this happen. That happens all the time in small groups. Yes. Here we go. Thank you, Mr. Caleb. Now, I would like to get some help on this. So when we get around to it, I'm going to have someone do the writing up here. I got to have my Vanna White, so I got to have Miss Kelly when the time comes. All right, so when the time comes, we're going to, okay. So Judges 2, Judges 2, where are we going with this? You can't start with Judges 2 until you go to Deuteronomy 34. So Miss Kelly, would you come up here and write Moses up here? Let's go to Judges, Deuteronomy chapter 34, and if you're new to your Bible, the Bible starts with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. This is the fifth book of the Bible. Please turn there in your Bibles because we're not going to go too far from this location. We're only going from there to Judges 2, which is very far. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 10, it says this. There has never been a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. The Lord sent Moses to perform all the miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land. And it was through Moses that the Lord demonstrated his mighty power and terrifying acts in the sight of Israel. What I want you guys to feel free to shout out answers to, raise your hand, a whole nine yards. I want to talk about this. We're talking about basically the verdict on Moses' life here and Moses' ministry. Moses led Israel out of captivity. Israel had been taken captive by Egypt. They lived there for a while, and then they were kind of taken over by Egypt. They lived there for 400 years in oppression. And Moses' job was to deliver Israel out of Egypt. And Moses did that through the power of God, and amazing things happened. And the spiritual life of Israel was actually pretty good under Moses. We think about all the things they did wrong, and that's true. They did a lot of things that caused God to get angry. But for the most part, Israel did follow God, or they wouldn't have come out of the promised land, or they wouldn't have made it through 40 years in the wilderness under Moses' leadership. All these things happened. So what are some of the things that come to your mind when you think about what made the spiritual life of Israel at that time so great? What were some of the things that happened that made Israel follow God and cause them to be actually healthy spiritually, if you want to say it that way? Any ideas? Mr. Caleb? Personal interaction with God. I love it. Would you put that there, Miss Kelly? Yes, Israel personally interacted with God. In fact, those people heard God speak from the mountains. They actually asked God to not do that anymore because it scared them so much. But they had a personal interaction with God. These people were in Egypt. They knew what it had experienced hardship. They knew what it was like to have tough times. Israel also understood what struggle was and want. Would you put that up there, Miss Kelly? They understood hard times and they struggled. This is not a bad thing spiritually. They also saw the miraculous things God did. 10 plagues it took for Pharaoh to finally release the Israelites. Probably 4 million of them. He had to go through 10 plagues. Who can think of what one of the plagues were? Give me a name of one of the plagues that were sent on Israel. All right, Mr. Big Daddy. That was the number 10. He killed the firstborn. Absolutely. The 10th and last plague where all the firstborn who were not covered by the blood of the lamb were taken away. Mr. Greg.
Rivers turned to blood.
Absolutely. If you saw the great Cecil B. DeMille film where the river turns to blood and there was no water. Another plague. Israel saw that. Joe. Locusts came and swarmed the land. Jacob. Was that drought? Frogs! Amazing. Frogs came and infested the land. Another plague. Any other plagues that you think of? Here we go. Boils on their skin. Oh, man. Took away their health. And Caleb Kleinbell. Well, darkness came over the land. Took away the light. All happened. And Israel saw all this and followed God through this. Israel was let go from Egypt. They went out into the desert. They came to the Red Sea. What happened at the Red Sea? Absolutely. Pharaoh sent his warriors after them. They came to the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea. And Israel was able to go through. They saw this. They experienced this amazing miracles of God. And one of my favorites, they were led by God. How did God lead Israel under Moses? Absolutely. A cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. This is fascinating. God would show them where to go by sending a cloud and moving the cloud. They were to stay under the shadow of that cloud. Fascinating. How would you like God to lead you like that? I would love it. Oh, there you go, over there. I got to go over that way. Oh, nope, go over here. This is wonderful. That was the daytime. That night, a pillar of fire that they followed. God led them. Moses was their leader throughout this time, and Israel followed God. The verdict on Moses' life, we just read. There's never been a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. So, this Moses society looks pretty good, and we know how. But Moses is getting finished with the job he's called to, and God raises up another leader. Who is the leader who will take over after Moses? Anyone? Mark. Joshua. Joshua is called to take over for Moses. Now, think of this. You've got Moses. You saw what the Bible just said about Moses. You've got to step in and lead after Moses. This is almost as bad as being told that you're going to be named the head coach of the New England Patriots after Bill Belichick leaves. They don't lose. Joshua has to follow after Moses. He had watched. He had seen Moses. He'd seen Moses lead. He had been a part of it. He had followed God. But how in the world is Joshua going to follow up that kind of leadership? Well, something amazing happens. In Joshua chapter 1, which is where we're going to next, turn one or two pages over to Joshua in the first chapter. God gives Joshua marching orders for how to be successful spiritually. How to have a society that follows God. How to have a home that is healthy. How to have a spiritual life that is one that is successful, where you can experience joy in the face of sorrow, where you can overcome sin in your life. Joshua chapter 1. Starting at verse 1, we are going to read, I believe, 9 verses. Listen in here for some of the actual commands that God gives to Joshua on how to be successful. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, who was Moses' assistant, and he said, "Now that my servant Moses is dead, you must lead my people across the Jordan River into the land that I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Everywhere you go, you will be on the land I have given you. From the Negev Desert in the south to the Lebanon Mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River on the east of the Mediterranean Sea on the west, and all the lands of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand their ground against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you." Here come the commands. Ready? "Be strong and courageous, for you will lead my people to possess all the land I swore to give their ancestors. Be strong and very courageous. Obey all the laws Moses gave you. Do not turn away from them, and you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of the law continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be sure to obey all that is written in it. Only then will you succeed. I command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you." That is the secret. God just gave the secret instructions on how to be successful spiritually, how to have a good society, how to have a good church, how to have a good family life, and how to have your spiritual life strong and healthy and successful. The first command God tells him, be strong. What he's talking about in being strong here, Miss Kelly, he is talking about Be strong in making your decisions. Be strong and make godly decisions. It is not easy always to make a godly decision, but you have to be strong to do it. He's telling him, be strong. But he backs it right up and says to him, our next, be courageous. What he's telling him to be courageous for is this. Be courageous against the opposition that you will face when you make godly choices. Because when you make godly choices, people aren't going to like it. When you make godly choices, they're going to cost. When you make godly choices, people are going to think you're trying to be better than them by being nicer than them, by being more holy than them. You need to be courageous that when you make that decision, you stick to it. Be strong and make the right decision, but be courageous and be willing to live with it. Be willing to live with everything that it calls for in living it out. God tells him, you are to lead these people. We'll add that in. Joshua was called to lead. The best way to lead, friends, is not so much by talking. Talk's cheap. I should have been born in Missouri because I am a show me state kind of guy. In case you didn't know, that's a slogan in Missouri. They're more show me, don't tell me. When you lead by example. Show people how to live. Joshua, you are to lead. You are the one to show them the way. You saw Moses. You know how it's supposed to be done. Now you have to live it. You have to do it. And we're called to do it. We're called to live it. Don't tell people about Jesus. They should see it. They should see it in you. Then tell them about it. Lead. Next, he tells him this. Be careful to obey all God's instructions. They were written down. God's instructions were written down, and he is told to be careful to obey God's instructions. I am turning 54 years old, and as I am turning 54, I can tell you, I obey instructions a lot better than I did when I was 24. These days, when I get an auto part, when I sit there and that UPS truck comes and I leap for joy because I got a new auto part coming down the driveway, I go to the instructions. I don't know how to put it in anymore like I used to. I read the instructions. When it says, be careful to back it out just so many turns. Be careful that you only torque it down so far so you don't break the housing. Be sure that you do this step first, the next, then this step third. Be very careful in following instructions. That's what God is telling him here. Carefully obey. Carefully. I wonder if that is lost these days when it comes to following God. Are we looking at God's word like we're following instructions on an auto part or even a recipe? Add this first, then chill that for 30 minutes in the fridge before you use it. Are we that careful with God's word? Where when it says to do something, we do it? Carefully obey. Joshua, this is the secret to success. This will lead you. This will take you to a life where your society is successful, where your church is successful, where your home is successful, and where your spiritual life personally is successful. God then says this, do not deviate even a little. Obey the law of Moses. Do not turn away from them or you will not be successful. He tells him to not deviate from the word. It's very easy, though, these days, to deviate from the word, isn't it? It's getting harder and harder, especially when our society and even people who make laws aren't really going by what the Bible says. And they're starting to deviate. Let's deviate from what the word says. This is okay. Love wins. Love wins. We're going to have same-sex marriage. That's deviating from the word. You will not find success. You will find success when you do not deviate from the word. That's what he's telling Joshua. Do not deviate. Then he tells him, study this book continually. Study this book continually. I am preaching to the choir. You are here. You're here. Thank God you're here, studying the book continually. But this is only once, one night a week. Study the book on your own. Have your book by your, have your Bible by your nightstand and be reading it every day, studying it continually. Go to conferences in Georgia. Turn on Christian radio. See what they say about the Bible and study it. I often wonder, when this came up in the college and career group, one of the people mentioned, I wonder what people study instead of the Bible. Wow. It's a good statement. Good question. Where do you invest your time studying? What are you pouring into? What are you learning? If you want to be successful, you want to find the life God has for you, you study God's commands. Study that. Know those things. We should not be a church that doesn't know the Bible. We shouldn't have a single person who comes to church regularly saying, I don't really know the Word of God. You should know the Word of God. You better know the Word of God. Because we're supposed to be studying it how often? Continually. And lastly, he tells him, meditate on God's Word. What does it mean to meditate on God's Word? It means to have it occupy your mind. It means when I left that conference and Katie said, what did you learn? I said, God said something, but I need to just kind of keep thinking about it, meditate about it. Let it fill my mind. Let it be something that I constantly give effort to thinking about. Meditate on it. Those are the marching orders Joshua receives if he is going to have a successful society and he is going to be a good godly leader and his people will follow God and they will be healthy spiritually. Whew. Now, you get to vote. Do you think they're going to do it? Do you think Israel will do this? Do you think Joshua will actually be a successful leader? Do you think Israel will study God's word? Will they meditate on it? Will they not be ignorant? Will they be careful to obey it? Careful to obey it? Will they be courageous? Will they be courageous when it comes to acting out? Who thinks they'll do it? Who thinks they won't do it? Okay, let's find out. I told you we're not going far. You're in the book of Joshua. Turn to Joshua 24. Just go straight ahead in that book. Joshua 24, verse 29. Verse 29 of Joshua 24. Soon after this, Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him in the land that he had inherited at Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and then of the leaders who outlived him, those who had personally experienced all that God had done for Israel. Israel did it. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible because it's one of those places that say it can be done. You can do it. You can overcome. You can live being strong and godly in your decisions. You can live being courageous and taking the heat when the world says you're wrong. So the Bible says I'm right. I really don't care what you say. You can lead and live it in front of people. You can obey all of God's instructions carefully. You can not deviate from the word. You can study the book all the time, continually, and meditate on it. It can be done. Israel did it the entire life of Joshua. And then I thought what was so cool is, after Joshua died, they continued to live it throughout the life of all of Joshua's elders who had seen what had happened. All the wonder. They followed God through them as well. Amazing. It can be done. Problem is, that's not what our study was about. What is a Judges 2 society? Well, Judges 2 comes up in only a couple pages from where we're at. I'm hoping that Judges 2 continues the good things that we're learning so far and continues what we saw happen in the life of Joshua. The entire life of Joshua's leadership, they were successful spiritually. Let's go to Judges chapter 2 and let's find out exactly what happened. Judges chapter 2, verse 8. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. We already know that. That's good. We're right on track. They buried him in the land that he had been allocated at Timnath-Serah, the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gosh. That's just what we learned. It says, after that generation died, remember they stayed throughout all those elders. It says, after that generation, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord, nor did they remember the mighty things that God had done for Israel. The Israelites then did evil in the Lord's sight, and they served the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors who had brought them out of Egypt, and they went after other gods, worshiping the gods of the people around them. They angered the Lord. It says, they abandoned the Lord to serve Baal and the images of Asheroth. This made the Lord burn with anger against Israel, so he handed them over to raiders who stole their possessions. He turned them over to their enemies all around, and they were no longer able to resist them. Every time Israel went out to battle, the Lord fought against them, causing them to be defeated just as he had warned, and the people were in great distress. How do you wind up becoming a nation, a society, a church, a household that becomes in distress? By forgetting all these things. By not doing these, you wind up with a Judges 2 society. A Judges 2 society is a society that is not strong in making godly decisions. They don't care what the Bible says. They don't make godly decisions. They do what's right in their own eyes. They certainly don't need to be courageous about backing them up because the world's on their side. They're doing all the things the world wants them to do. A Judges 2 society certainly doesn't lead towards God or show people how to live. They don't obey carefully God's instructions. And they certainly do deviate from the Word of God, as we're seeing. They fail to study the book at all, not even continually. And they certainly do not meditate on it. Christine Kane said that night, very briefly, very quickly, we do not want a Judges 2 society. And I would agree with her 100%. And I would expand it. We do not want the church in America to be a Judges 2 church. One that doesn't do those things. We don't want our homes. We don't want our homes to be judges to homes where we're not making godly decisions. We're certainly not courageous about suffering the price for making godly decisions. And we're not really going by any of the instructions in the Bible. And I don't think we want judges to personal spiritual lives. We want lives like Joshua taught the people to have. And that's what we're going to embark on. We'll be studying the book of Revelation. It is a in-your-face book. Hold on to your hats. If we get through the seven bowls of wrath, we're doing pretty good. They're going to back it up with seven trumpets of wrath, so woo! You better want to be a Joshua society and not a Judges 2 society. But old Joshua, who's probably my favorite Bible character, because I love that he was successful. Old Joshua said this, and I love it. And I'm glad he said it, because I don't know if I have the chutzpah to say what Joshua would say. But he said it, and I'll read it to you, because I think he's right on the money. He said this, Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15. He told Israel, "So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshiped when they lived beyond the Euphrates in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But," and here it is, "if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today who you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Would you rather serve the gods today that are being offered to us, gang? Would you rather serve the gods that say, everything's good, do whatever you want? The gods that say, let legislatures tell you what's right and wrong, not what the Bible says. You want those gods? If you want those gods, choose you this day," he says to them, "whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the god of the Amorites in whose lands you now live? But as for me and my family," Joshua says, "we will serve the Lord." And they did. He led the way and they followed and they did it. The question for tonight is, how far away are you from this? And do you want to be this? This is the secret. These are the instructions. This is how far to torque that bolt. This is how to live life to the full. This is how you get your name recorded in the book of life when it says, they served God throughout their lifetime. That's what I want. I want for God to say, I served him wholeheartedly. And I want you and this church to be the same. That's what we're called to. That's why heading into where we're headed, you needed a little, okay, this is going to be tough. But if you want to live a Joshua society, we're going to go after that. If you want to live a Judges 2 society, let me just say it right now. Skip. Just skip. Go. And run after it. Run after it if it's what you want. And I'll say this. God and us will be here when you come back. I promise. We'll be here when you come back. You pay the price. I don't pay it. You pay the price. Joshua said, choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we are going to. I'm going to ask the band to come back as we pray. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to come to a study like this and seeing that you have given us clear instructions on how we are to live, how we can find success, how we can see children who grow up respectful, how we can see marriages that thrive, and that people look at and say, I want a marriage like that. You've given us the instructions on how to follow. I pray that you'd help each of us to be serious about our Christian walk, to be serious about the life you've called us to. Now, Lord, take us. Make us what you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Challenging things to say, and our young people, they would come to me, and they, what do you think about what was said there? I said, well, he's challenging you. You need to take what was said, and if you have a problem with it, or if you disagree with it, go prove yourself. Go to the Bible and prove yourself, and make your point. But that's how you learn, that's how you grow. And they did just that, and I was excited about that. I pray that we would continue to be people who let the Bible challenge us, show us what he wants us to do. Lord, I pray that you'd keep your hands upon Westbridge Community Church, and I pray that you would make us a serious church. Lord, I know that when we go into Revelation, we're going to look at seven letters written to seven churches, and I don't want one of those letters to come to us saying that we fooled around with our Christianity. I don't want to be one of those churches that receive a letter saying, you messed up. I want to be a church that says, you guys fought the fight. You tried. You made strong, godly decisions. And you were courageous. You weren't perfect, but you fought the fight. And you lived it. Next week, as we look at those letters, Lord, we're ready now. We are ready now. Because I pray that each of us would live lives that Joshua showed the people to live. And we would not be a Judges 2 church. And that those who don't want what you have to offer, well, we'll just wait for another day. But those who have said yes, help us to live it wholeheartedly. Help us to not make it trivial in our life. We trust you, Lord, and I pray that you take us where you want us to go. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to be down front for anybody who needs prayer. If you need anything prayed about, come and see me. Pray. Have a great week, everybody.